Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission
and help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Hello and welcome to Living the Dream podcast. This is Pastor Kevin and it is August the 11th, 2020, and you're listening to episode 43. I cannot thank you enough for listening to Living the Dream podcast. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and make sure you don't miss a single episode. Thank you for joining this revolution of reaching the foreign-born internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, it would be an incredible honor to us if you would please leave your highest review there on Apple Podcasts. Now, let's dive into today's show. Last week, we talked about reaching the community and changing the world. And we looked at Acts 1:8, where we are told, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, years ago, I had the privilege of worshiping in a church that actually at the exit of their parking lot had a sign that said, "You are now entering the mission field." Obviously, on the other side, it said, "Welcome to the church." But on the exit, it said, "You are now entering the mission field." I'm not so sure that that is the most accurate, because the church can be a mission field as well. But the point was, you're now going out into the world to be the ambassadors for Christ, the witnesses for Christ. I've actually also had the privilege of being under Pastor J.D. Greer's ministry at the Summit Church. And every single weekend, they end their services with the proclamation, "Summit, you are sent." And that's the ending of their worship experience. I really wish more churches would, in some way, shape, or another, make that proclamation over the believers of Christ. Because on today's show, we are going to be looking at living sent. And we're going to dive into this word, sent. We serve a sending God. Now, we are recording this in the midst of a global pandemic where COVID-19 is wreaking havoc across the world, and in the USA and other nations around the world, COVID cases are rising and shutdown continues, and we're on the forefront of school looking different than it ever has in history, and so much has changed. The U.S. government earlier sent out stimulus checks. You probably, if you're living in the USA and even in India and other places where Amazon exists, you have been sent packages that you have ordered through Amazon or through other shipping companies for the goods that you need in your home so that you can minimize public contact during this time. DoorDash is probably one of the most popular apps on the planet as people are ordering their food takeout and having it delivered to their home. Food is being sent to our homes today. Well, long before COVID-19, sending was already happening, because in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son," gave his one and only son, sent Jesus to the world, "that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We serve a God who sent his son. And then we continue to read in John 3, verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God is serious about sending. We see that in Jesus's prayer in John 17, in verse 23, it says, Father, I am in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. And Jesus is literally praying to the Father, let the ministry of my disciples go forth that the world might believe, John 3:16, that the Father sent the Son. Further in John 17, verse 25, we read, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. So a believer in Christ knows that the Father sent the Son to die in their place for the forgiveness of their sin. John 6, 29, we read, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And so salvation comes by believing that the Father has sent the Son for the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 John 4, 9, we read, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 14, we read, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And finally, in 1 John 4, verse 10, we read, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to pay the debt for our sins. So the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the Father so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. When I have the opportunity to share the gospel among people who are far from God, I try to be as simplistic as possible and just stick to these points. Man has a problem called sin. Sin is what keeps us from a holy and righteous God. But God had a plan named Jesus. That is good news. But you and I have a choice to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. We serve a God that has sent his one and only Son. We also see that Jesus is sent to other cities. And we want to connect this to last week's episode about taking the gospel to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And last week we talked about if you have a presence of the gospel in Michigan and you are reaching people born in Michigan, you have the capacity to change Michigan. That's good news. But the gospel is not just for the people born in a certain area. It is to go beyond Michigan, go beyond North Carolina, go beyond Ohio and California and wherever you might live, to the entire nation of the United States and into your nation, wherever you're listening from, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are being saved and brought to Almighty God because he is a sending God. He has sent his plan named Jesus into our lives, into the world, that you and I might know him and have a living relationship with him. Listen to Luke chapter 4, verse 43. It says, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Jesus understood his purpose was to go and share the good news of the kingdom of God with cities other than his birthplace, Bethlehem, and his predominant place of ministry there in Jerusalem. He traveled outside of Jerusalem to Samaria. He, being a Jew, went where Jews would not normally go in order to share the gospel with the woman at the well. And we see this time and time again through the life of Christ, where he took the gospel to the sinner, to the people that were far from God. And it was not just in his place of birth. He went beyond that to the larger areas and even to the uttermost parts of the earth, as he then sent his people. Jesus sends his people. We read in John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." We come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, trust me for the salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins." And he invites us to come. And as we put our faith in him, he then says, "Now go." And we read this in John 17, verse 18. It says, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Being a Christian is more than a label. It is a Christ follower. We are actually following someone that Almighty God has sent into the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son. He sent his one and only son. When you bowed your knee and professed Jesus as Savior and Lord, you became a follower of Jesus Christ. And you are following someone who has been sent by the Father. And here in John 17, verse 18, it says, "I also have sent them into the world." You have been sent. Whether you are living sent or not, you and I have been sent. Christian churches worldwide should end their worship experience this coming weekend with the proclamation, "Church, you are sent. Go and live sent." We read the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19. It says, Jesus is talking to the disciples, to the church of that day, to you and I, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations," not just your nation, not just the nation that is the cheapest airfare to buy, but to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What you have learned, go share it with others. The love that you've experienced, go share it with others. The grace you've been shown, go share it with others. And Jesus makes this promise, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In Matthew 24, verse 14, we read, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And last week we shared how demographics show that there are over 7 billion people alive today on planet Earth, and 4 billion have access to the gospel. But still today, August the 11th, 2020, there is an estimated 3 billion people, especially in the 1040 window, that have limited to no access to the gospel. And we hear in Matthew 24 that the end will not come until the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is made available to every nation. That's beyond your city. That's beyond your zip code. That's beyond your state. You and I are serving a God that lives sent. In episode 19, I introduced you to my friend Io from church. We volunteer together, and he is from Nigeria. And I want to just play the clip, a small portion of that interview from episode 19 for you. Your testimony is that you
had the gospel. You had already received Christ. Your wife had already received Christ. Has there been anything that God has shown you and your wife as you were blessed to come to the U.S. as to why he would bring you here for the purpose of the gospel? Is there anything that you can really point to or any explanation? I mean, because we're going to talk about it here on the show.
Yes.
One of my theories is that he brought you here to strengthen the U.S. church. You know, we're going to talk about that survival faith.
Yes.
But is there anything, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want to ask you first, is there anything that you really believe God showed you as a reason? Because you could have been a very successful businessman in Nigeria.
Or being a successful person elsewhere in the world.
Yes.
Instead of the U.S. So, mm-hmm. So that's why I believe that there is, especially with God. And you know, when your life is orchestrated by God, you know that nothing happens by accident.
Right.
So there is a purpose for everything that happens in mm-hmm. our life. And I believe that one of the reasons why God has chosen to plant us in the U.S. is not just to emphasize the survivor faith. That's part of it mm-hmm. because we can see the difference. Having the benefit of growing up in Nigeria and knowing that everything depends on your faith, or your mm-hmm. faith is almost, you know, responsible for your survival. But we also feel like God has brought us here to also reach other internationals. And that message could not be more confirmed than when we lived in South Carolina. We were part of a group called HIS, EASE. That stands for Helping International Students. Mm-hmm. So I was a major beneficiary of just being part of that group. Mm-hmm. I met some of my very good friends till date from there. We used to go to a campus fellowship called Chi Alpha. Mm-hmm. Chi Alpha is an arm of Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. It's just a campus fellowship arm of Assemblies of God. And just forging some relationship and folks that will still encourage and help you to continue to grow, but also put you in a position to be able to reach out to other internationals. As you know, if you share similar experience with someone, mm-hmm. They are probably they're going to be more receptive mm-hmm. to what you have to say mm-hmm. than somebody who they perceive does not even understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm talking to an Indian person who is a Buddhist or an Hindu, you know, mm-hmm. doesn't believe in God. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that we both were not born in the U.S.,
yeah.
we'll probably break some wall that mm-hmm. would have been there initially.
Absolutely.
So we sense that was part of what sent here to do. Mm-hmm. And so we actually partnered with mm-hmm. Helping International Student and with Chi Alpha just to continue to break that barrier of breaking the ice, mm-hmm. if you will, you know, talking to international students about Christ and mm-hmm. Folks that may never have heard about Christ, but just because you've got that similar background and you have shared experience as far as your landing in the U.S. and mm-hmm. all that, you're actually like one or two steps mm-hmm. ahead of where that conversation would have been if it was just somebody that didn't have the same experience. So we did a little bit of that while even as mm-hmm. a full-time grad student.
I love that. A couple things I want us to think about. In the Old Testament, one of the things that as you grow in Christ, you realize the Old Testament all points to Jesus. You can look from Genesis all the way to Malachi, and if you're willing to see it, you will see that God was telling the story of the coming of the Savior all throughout the Old Testament. And then you see the New Testament all points to Jesus. As Jesus came, and we really have the record of his 3 years of ministry, obviously we celebrate the birth, and then we celebrate his death and burial and resurrection and ascension, that what you see, the New Testament points to Jesus, but you see that Jesus points to the Great Commission. And everything that he has is about the Father's mission. And before he leaves, he says, go ye therefore, and he gives us the Great Commission. You see this passion of God to go and to reach. I don't know that a lot of Americans have began to appreciate, to the extent that our Heavenly Father does, that he is orchestrating very sovereign plans to fulfill the Great Commission. Yep. You're bearing witness that he gave you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, your wife the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a disciple, you are turning your life over to his purpose. He educates you and he brings you in marriage and he brings you to the USA. And your witness is in order to fulfill the Great Commission, that you would join him in being a part of the Great Commission.
Okay, so you're getting a picture there that God has sent foreign-born internationals here to the USA to help the US church reach foreign-born internationals. I want you to continue to just listen one more segment of this interview with Ayo.
Right. So the mission of Global Hope India is seeing Indian nationals absent to the gospel transformed into ambassadors for the gospel. And the reason that I've had Wendy and Nelson, Wendy's from Vietnam, Nelson's American, and then having Yemi from China on the show is because they arrived in the U.S. absent to the gospel, but now they are an ambassador for the gospel.
Praise God.
And your testimony is you were made aware of Christ and you and your wife in Nigeria, but you are also sent to the U.S. to be ambassadors for the gospel.
Absolutely.
And one of the celebrations of Living the Dream podcast is that foreign-born internationals will absolutely be used of God to be ambassadors for the gospel in reaching people far from God, especially foreign-born internationals. One of the things that we would say to a fellow foreign-born international living in the U.S. is don't slow down, but be that ambassador.
Yes.
And continue to see the sovereignty of God to have a witness to other foreign-born internationals living right here in the U.S.
Yes.
There's a fruitfulness and an effectiveness there. What have you seen since you've been in the U.S. as far as a witness to foreign-born internationals?
I've seen it time and time again where it is easier for a foreign-born international believer to reach out mm-hmm. to a fellow foreign-born international mm-hmm. that is a non-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember when I was in grad school in Colombia, I had a roommate who was from Yemen. Mm. I would invite him to come to help an international student, mm-hmm. his house with me.
Mm-hmm.
After about two or three occasions of him coming up with excuses, he couldn't come up with any excuse mm. anymore, and he came.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, there was also food served at this at this
praise
gathering.
God.
So
for
people,
the lower
yes, for uh-huh. yeah, for lunch, for free
yes.
lunch. But I almost felt like a Muslim, a very hardcore Muslim,
mm-hmm.
That will pray five times, will observe all the fasting for 30 days mm-hmm. annually, that he felt, I don't want to say the guilt, but I think he felt like, okay, if Ayo can go there, he's from Nigeria, I can go there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he actually became a regular.
Mm.
He obviously did not give his life to Christ, at mm-hmm. least not. I don't know where he is now. He probably went back to Yemen. But I know that seeds have been sown.
Yes.
Seeds mm-hmm. have been sown. And so yeah. the next time somebody talks to him about Christ, it won't be the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that was just an example that came to mind. But there are others like that where God has used my wife and I to minister to other mm-hmm. Foreign borns, but also to people born in the U.S. as well, just mm-hmm. you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ here mm-hmm. on earth. That's one of our primary purposes here. So,
yeah.
So we've seen quite a few of that. People yeah. come to see yeah. the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
So we serve a sending God. And you can see that in the life of Ayo. God has sent Ayo and his family from Nigeria to the USA with a assignment to help reach people who are far from God. That's Americans as well as foreign-born internationals living in the USA with the gospel and partnering with them to fulfill the Great Commission. On episode 22 and 23, I introduced you to my friend, Pastor David from Ghana. it is another relationship that I have through Elevation Church. And David and his family have come to the USA. And when he did, David was not living for the Lord. He did not have a living relationship with Jesus. He had grown up hearing the gospel, but not in the context of a living relationship. So it was in the USA that God got his attention and he committed his life to the Lord. And David shares his story of how he returned, immediately went back to Ghana and led 60,000 people on multiple trips over to Ghana, led 60,000 people to the Lord. And this is just evidence that God is working to send people, foreign-born internationals, to the USA to strengthen the US church in reaching people far from God, in reaching foreign-born internationals so that the church can partner with them in fulfilling the Great Commission. Here's one reason why your church should be reaching internationals. Internationals live sent. Most of them arrive here with two suitcases. They fly over, they pack their earthly belongings into two suitcases, and they land somewhere in the USA with only a suitcase in each hand, nothing else. And they are here as a visitor. When they are in visitor status, they can't buy land, they can't buy houses here. Most consider their homeland to be where they came from. And that is their home. And so they are in the USA living as foreigners, and they view themselves here temporarily. And we have an opportunity. Many of them are coming absent to the gospel, and we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And as they take Jesus only for salvation, to then partner with them in fulfilling the Great Commission. God is a sending God. He has sent his son. He is sending you. He's also sending foreign-born internationals. And I am encouraging you, as my very dear and beloved brother and sisters in Christ, to just pay attention to this reality that God is sending foreign-born internationals here for the purposes of the gospel, and so that the U.S. church can partner with the church globally in fulfilling the Great Commission. Next week, we are going to continue to dive in to how internationals live sent. And I cannot wait to share with you another story of how an international moved here to the USA, absent to the gospel, but became an ambassador for Christ and went back to his homeland and is today still spreading the gospel, making Christ known among his national people as a result of finding the gospel in the USA. God is on the move, and he is sending people crisscrossing our lives. Yes, I understand we cannot travel internationally very easily today, but international travel will resume, and you will be called of God to go to the nations, and God will be bringing the nations to you. And we need to seize this moment for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. Praise God for you. Thank you for listening to Living the Dream podcast. I'll see you here next week. God bless you.
Check out Kevin's new book, Audacious Generosity. Given the choice, every one of us wants to be more generous, but fear holds us back. Audacious generosity is where God is the giver, and giving depends on what God puts into your hands. Gone are the days of feeling pressured to be the giver. Instead, audacious generosity will empower you for limitless giving as God gives through you. See what happens when we open our hands to God and commit in advance to use what he puts in our hands to fulfill his mission. Check out audaciousgenerosity.com and reserve your copy today. That's audaciousgenerosity.com.
We want to give some local love to our friends at Future Homes by Jim Thompson, located in Apex, North Carolina. With over 40 years of home building experience, the Thompson family has established itself as a trusted and consistent provider of the area's finest new homes. Jim Thompson's BuildZoom score places the company in the top 98% of contractors in North Carolina. Not only are the homes extravagantly beautiful, but their hearts are generous. We recognize Jim and his wife Eileen's witness for Christ and their incredible generosity for expanding heaven through gospel missions. Check out their website today at futurehomesonline.com.
Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.